Listening to Mulder Was Right, a conspiracy theory podcast where we talk about exactly that, conspiracy theories, in a very jokingly and fun manner.
Fun.
My name is Brendan, and I'm joined by...
Brandon Brown.
and I'm Curtis.
Yeah, so that's us.
I said
that's
my last name. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Okay. It's not your last name.
You can follow Brandon on Twitter at
Blandong.
please spell that for us.
Blandong.
Blandong. That's Brandon Brown Blandong.
Brandon Brown Blandong. You're right. God, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can't.
At MWRcast. That's where you can find the podcast. You can also find us on Facebook at MWRcast.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Don't have a Twitter.
We have some exciting news.
Yes.
And
we do.
And I'm going to say it before the podcast and then at the end as well. That way that if you forget while listening, because this is a pretty exciting episode, you can have it on both ends.
Holding the books together.
Exactly.
The content.
Does
content
now count as before the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. But we're in the podcast.
Yeah. Well, no. before our main topic for the day, which by the way is going to be pretty fun.
It's going to be fun.
I think
okay,
so.
Okay. So before and after the fun.
Before and after the fun.
Okay.
But it's continuous fun. Anyway, from next episode on, we are going to be live streaming all of our episodes. We have a Twitch account, twitch.tv/MWRcast. Basically, all of our stuff is MWRcast.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that stands for, that's Mulder Was Right.
The podcast you're listening to.
Yes, cast. The podcast you're listening to.
Cast doesn't stand for anything?
It's short for podcast.
It's just okay. It's
anyway, so you guys can.
I didn't realize that was supposed to be short for podcast. I thought it was just like cast, as in we are the cast.
We are
the
cast
show.
Of the show.
No. Oh, I learned something new. What is this episode like? 50 billion.
Anyway, we're also going to be doing additional streams because like that's what people do with streams. So for instance, every Wednesday, I myself, that's Brendan. Is going to stream all of my research. So if you guys want to come in and maybe see a sneak peek of what's going to come for the episodes, you guys can tune in Wednesday.
Get a little
peek of Brendan.
We're going to be streaming
every Wednesday, 12 o'clock Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Standard Time.
I believe that's our time zone.
It is.
So are you going to have you're going to have a webcam?
Yeah, we're going to have a webcam. So you're going to see our faces. It's going to be the first time you're going to see our faces.
Very strange. Wow.
And then I'm going to have to get some Rogaine for my head. And then are they going to be able to see what you're doing on your computer as your research?
Yeah, exactly.
Just, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So you're going to see everything. It should be a lot of fun. If you're interested in seeing what goes into the research for this podcast, as well as seeing a visual episode for the podcast, definitely check that out. I like playing video games too, so chances are I'm going to be playing some video games on there. And we'll have... these two guys as well probably show up.
Yeah, we'll be there doing Lord knows what.
I have
maybe they can watch us play Rocket League badly.
Yeah,
oh, man.
We can play Rocket League badly. I also have a Vive, so if you're interested in VR gameplay.
Oh my God. Why do you have a Vive?
Sorry. Why do I have a Vive?
Because
it's awesome.
Sorry. Also, I can't judge you. I had a PSVR.
Yeah.
Bad time. Anyway.
The Vive is really cool.
So is the PSVR. Sure.
Yeah, anyway, so if you're interested in that type of gameplay, you can let us know. And, you know, I will accommodate because we don't have really any ideas for what we want to play on the Twitch stream. Anyway, this is all unrelated, but definitely check it out if you want to. Once again, that's twitch.tv/MWRcast. Let's get into the episode.
Now
we're in the episode.
Okay.
It's happening.
It's starting now.
Exactly. I'm a little...
Welcome
I'm a little...
to Mulder Was Right.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question before you start. You said this was going to be fun, and I was wondering if you could compare it to a visit to Chuck E. Cheese's?
Well,
how much more fun is it going to be?
Well, if you enjoy learning new things and learning about misinformed people.
Oh, I love that.
Then yeah, it is okay. Way more okay, fun than great. Chuck E. Cheese.
Great.
I feel like you could learn about a lot of misinformed people at Chuck E. Cheese.
That's probably
true. I bet
true.
There's a lot of misinformed people there.
Did you know that the E in Chuck E. Cheese's stands for entertainment? His name is Chuck Entertainment Cheese.
That's
and that is our fun fact of the day. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. I did it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so why don't we jump right in?
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, Pierre Tellet, who has a striking resemblance to Brandon, actually.
What?
Looks a lot like Brandon.
Let me see if I can pull up the picture.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't ask you the question I was about to ask you until I see him.
So we've just so far, like, all right, we're starting the episode. You said one person's name.
I don't
and
even
then
remember
you were like,
the name.
That guy looks like Brandon. And now we're just looking.
Wow, you have so many.
Can we just look
open.
At Brandon? Oh,
is that
man.
Why you asked me back? Wow, okay.
Okay, I can't see it. It's
maybe
too small.
A little bit.
Wow, yeah, this guy kind of does look like Brandon.
He kind of
like
does look like
an American me. Is he black though? Am I?
He
am
looks.
I, am I? Am I?
He looks kind of black, but he might not be. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. He's very French.
Hmm.
Based on the name,
does that count?
There are black French people. In fact, Haiti was a
who?
French Haiti.
Oh,
the country
okay.
was a French colony.
I interrupted you too quickly. Hadn't realized you weren't talking about a person.
I wasn't. they speak French in Haiti.
I thought you were
going to
give me
okay,
an example
right.
of a black French person.
I'm giving you an example of a country of
named
black
Haiti.
French people.
Anyway,
yeah. Okay.
So yeah, he kind of looks like Brandon. And you'll be able to find that out next week when you see Brandon.
You mean Pierre
or Pierre? No, I mean when you see Brandon,
you can find out what Brandon looks like right now if you Google this guy.
Yeah,
he looks like that
100%.
Anyway,
genetically identical.
So he discovered a large cave system in a remote part of the Egyptian desert. Any city, modern or ancient, is several miles away from this location as well. So it's a pretty remote area.
Okay.
During his first digging season, because for whatever reason, archaeology in Egypt, they only do it in seasons. So like the season is like from like May to October-ish, like
okay.
that range.
So they just don't want to do it in the winter.
I guess not.
Okay.
Even though I think it might be cooler. Than,
I don't know. Maybe it's like all windy and stormy.
Maybe
and
it's
bad.
Too cool.
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, so during his first season, he discovered that it was a boat storage area, which is really weird when it's in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Well, like where you're in the desert where you can't use your boats. You got to store them somewhere.
Yeah. But theoretically you'd store them near the water. Now,
what if you just love your boats and you moved away from the water and you wanted to have your boats?
In fact, people do that every day.
In the time that they use this boat storage, we found out that the Nile was largely flooded. So this was near the water at the time when they were using it as boat storage.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was 4,600 years ago.
Okay.
That's quite some time.
That's longer than I've been alive for sure.
Definitely. During his third season in 2013, they discovered some papyrus rolls, some a few feet in length. Now, this is the big discovery, because this is the oldest known papyrus to exist.
Like, oldest known, like, paper records, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Oldest known paper records in history that we know of.
Cool.
And so, one of the largest questions is, what is written on them? Is there anything written
probably
on them?
Probably just whose boats were in
can we
thing.
Decipher what is on it? The papyri was written by men who helped build the Great Pyramids of Giza, and
okay.
specifically the first Great Pyramid of Giza.
And when we say the people who helped, we mean the people who wanted it built or the people they made build it.
The people they made built.
Very cool. Yes. Yeah. That is very cool.
So okay. So the slaves.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now people don't know too much about this pyramid. I did a little bit of research into it. It was made over 2 decades and a lot
that's
of...
That's it, really?
2 decades, yeah. That's it.
That's a long time, but it's also... For how magnificent they are,
yeah,
not a very long time.
It was like the tallest building for like 4,000 years,
yeah.
And it was built to be a tomb mm-hmm. for Pharaoh Khufu.
Can you imagine like being like, you know, because it took 20 years to build his tomb, and so he had to be like 30 or something and be like, you know what, I want a really big fucking tomb. I want them to build this tomb for like the rest of my life.
Look, like, before the podcast, I was telling you guys to make sure that when you're gonna die, look,
shut up. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just don't want to think about my own death.
Liquidate your assets that it's easier for your children or people who care about you, you know, to go through all that.
I think like, you know, when you die,
this guy knows.
They say you can't take it with you, like all your stuff.
Well, this guy did try.
Can you take liquid with you? Is that why you liquidate your stuff so you can take it all with you?
Well, the thing is that pharaohs in ancient Egypt tried to take stuff with them.
Yeah.
You know,
their tombs were furnished, all their gold and whatever. Yeah, yeah.
I want to point out that while doing research into this topic, I ran into a lot of information on creationists. And a lot of them don't believe that these were large tombs.
What did they think they were?
What do you think that they were? What do you think they thought they were?
Well, Ben Carson is famous for saying that he thought it was like grain silos.
Yes,
he thought they were full of grain.
Yes, that is one of the big ones.
I don't know why he thinks that. Or who let him do brain surgery on people? But
yeah.
Really, it was just Ben Carson. That was the big one.
Okay.
That was the big one who he thinks something weird, and it's I don't know why he doesn't just believe the scientists. But you know,
I want to step back a moment and talk about. So these pharaohs wanted to bring all their stuff with them to the afterlife,
mm-hmm.
and ostensibly nobody else really got to bring any of their shit with them because you know everyone else is normal people who just die and don't get to bring their couches and stuff. So like in the afterlife. The pharaoh shows up. And he's like, "What up, bitches? I got furniture."
Like, no one's just like, furniture.
"You know, we're all dead. Like, we don't really
need to sit."
And everyone's just like, look at that guy over there. He's got a couch. Like, how did he get a couch? I don't know. That's just a funny image to me.
Brought a couch with him. Yeah.
Yeah. He gets to sit down, and really, he's just chilling on his couch. Like,
mm-hmm.
probably.
I don't know.
It's a nice image.
In the river,
the
river Styx.
It is
just
a nice
like
image.
Floating on his couch.
Did the Egyptians believe in the river Styx?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, so
yeah, I don't know much about that.
So what all we know is that we found this papyrus. It's very old. It does have writing on it. It's presumably from the people who built the first pyramids. Pyramid singular.
Yeah.
The other two were then built smaller and they were built by other people for other pharaohs. And so we have these people. And here's where we get differing stories. We're going to get to Telles. I don't know how you pronounce it. If it's Tellet or Telle. I don't know.
He's
French, so I'm going to say it's Telle.
I bet it's Telle.
Anyway, so we're going to get to his story in a bit. But according to Professor Nabir Al-Samud, these were journal entries that detail how it was built. And this actually isn't really disputed by anybody.
Okay.
As well as the legitimacy of the papyri is not disputed either.
So everyone's like, this is real.
This is real.
And they're journal entries for how the pyramid was built.
Yes. But... here is where it differs. People have interpreted two different ways. And we're going to go into Al-Samud's theory first. Now, keep in mind, by the way, that this is a civilization that hadn't discovered the wheel yet.
Yep.
Sure.
They hadn't discovered the wheel.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so they had to build the pyramids. And so from what we know, they would just move giant slabs with their hands or, I don't know, carry it somehow. And
with
some
the
of these
bodies of some of these of slaves.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these slabs weighed like nearly 70 tons, like one slab, which is just absurd.
Yeah.
Completely absurd.
Completely absurd. And think how many people you have to move that one. It's absurd.
And a little horrific.
A very, very horrific.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, they can do all this magnificent stuff, but they can't invent the wheel.
I think they just had wheels.
That might be one of the theories. We have to let them say.
Oh, yeah. That's my theory.
Well, according to Egyptologists, they did not have the wheel.
They're
this
wrong.
Time. So Al-Samud claims that they had some help moving these large slabs.
Okay.
Now I want you to sort of, what do you guys think helped move the slabs?
Pulleys.
He thinks wheels.
I said wheels, also maybe like big bears.
Well, and I was wondering if maybe they had access to gamma radiation despite their lack of access to wheels, and maybe they made the Hulk.
They created some hulks push the slabs.
They'd be able to move it super quick.
Super quick.
Like
maybe faster than 2 decades.
It would need 2 decades.
Yeah,
if they had just one Hulk. No,
you're probably
way.
Right.
Yeah. So in ancient hieroglyphic, in ancient hieroglyphics and art, Egyptians were surprisingly accurate with some of the images that they depicted. For instance, you can see eagles or like various livestock, such as like ox or something like that, and it looks very much like you can tell, like, oh yeah, dude, that's an ox. You know, you've seen the cat art, right?
Yes, I've seen
cats. Well, let me show you one of what the early pieces depicts.
Okay.
All right.
Is it going to be some bears? Oh, it's a wheel.
Nope. Was that a...
Stop.
What was that?
Brendan's just giving us a sneak peek of all the pictures he has open right now.
You really should have these open in order.
I have too many tabs open at the moment.
Brendan's a busy man. This is all text that you're showing us now.
Aw, snap.
But like, so the wheel thing for me is like, wheels are just so simple. And like,
Curtis,
I figure out,
this
you,
is,
you're
this
walking
is a very
through the
privileged...
woods, you're walking through the woods and you step on a stick and the stick rolls and you fall over and you're like, man, things roll when they're round. And I feel like you could extrapolate on that a little bit and it wouldn't be that hard.
Especially if
you had a pulley. Let's say you had a pulley,
and they must
have
had
pulleys
basically
a wheel
for the pyramids. I'm sure that Brendan will tell us.
And I'm sure
he finds this,
Egyptologists and archaeologists
have spent their whole lives studying this and maybe know,
and like have their reasons for thinking they didn't have a wheel. But I just kind of think, like, hey, maybe they just didn't draw their wheels. You know, they drew everything. They just didn't bother drawing a wheel. When was the last time you drew a wheel? When was the last time you were like, let me document all the wheels in my life?
Curtis, I'm very bad at documentation, and you know this. Like, we can't use me as...
So you're saying that people who are good at documentation are like, today I drove my car with 4 wheels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now... I don't know a whole lot about the wheel, like the history of the
I'm not one of those wheel scientists, so I don't really know what I'm talking about.
But like, when they came up with the wheel, did they immediately go, I need one other one or 3 other ones to make this thing go? Or was there like a gap in between that knowledge where they like, I can make this round and it'll move, and I have to apply it to this cart to make it go forward?
Yeah.
Like, what's the... And in terms of that, like, what would they have used the wheel for when they were making the pyramids? All these things are so big. Like, they would have had to lift them to get them onto the thing. At that point, they might as well just lift it.
I mean, you're right. I think it's a stupid idea to build the pyramid in the first
place. Well, no. It is. Khufu's crazy.
I mean,
that's his name, right? Khufu? Yeah.
If I was Khufu, I'd be like, y'all, just build me... And I wanted to take my couches to the afterlife. I'd have been like, just let me die in this room.
and then don't change this room.
And then just leave this room alone, and then I'll will go.
Yeah.
And then later the room will be empty, and you won't even have to, and then the next people can move in because I'll have taken all the stuff out.
There is something to be said for the, like the, how cocky it is to be like, it's so mystic. I'm just going to go into this dark tomb. And you're never going to know one way or the other if I'm gone or if this furniture's gone.
Because no one's ever coming back in.
And I,
and like, you know, and
this,
like,
and it, so this tomb is now my body, like this largest thing in the whole world for 4,000 years from now until whenever somebody builds something bigger, it's just my body and it's the hugest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So
you found the picture.
I found the picture. this is some ancient Egyptian art right here.
Okay.
What is that?
What is that?
Those look like a couple of dinosaurs.
No, that looks... God, is that where this... So it looks to me like some panthers with really long necks.
Yeah.
Some very long necks.
It looks like a couple... Some cats like, with really long necks.
So, sort of like the popular characters from The Land Before Time, the long necks.
Huh.
So you're going back to dinosaurs. So I said dinosaurs and then you said no.
Well, I just don't want that to be what this is, but I think it's really interesting that it is what it is, if it is.
So there's additional art that depicts this type of creature as well.
Okay.
And for you listeners at home, we'll include this image on our website, MulderWasRight.wordpress.com. But I'll describe it for you now as well. It looks like, as Brandon said, some cat-like, it has like a cat-like body. It has like a panther body. It's got a weird tail as well that, you know, goes up and curls. And then it has a very long neck and longer than what you'd expect.
Longer than its body.
Longer than its body.
Yeah.
And then it has a cat head. Now, every time they depict this creature, it always has a cat head. So it's pretty unique and unusual.
Egyptians liked cats a lot, did they not?
Yes.
That's part of their was part of their culture. Yeah. So the other thing about this image that you haven't described is that there are two humans with what it looks like ropes around the necks.
It looks like they have tamed this beast.
Yes. It does. It also looks like they're floating a little bit, which I'll forgive because
it's
yeah,
art.
I think that's some like trick of perspective.
Yeah, right.
Maybe instead of the necks being very long and going straight up, maybe their necks are like laying sideways on the ground.
Yeah.
And then the people are there.
Anyway, but it looks like, I mean, you know, to be very straightforward here, it looks like these humans have tamed these sauropods, dinosaurs.
Sauropods.
Serpopods.
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 They're cat dinos.
So it is speculated by Al-Samud that ancient Egyptians built the pyramids with the help of dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
That's the dopest thing I've ever heard.
Tell
me more. Is this a real person? Is he like a really serious Egyptologist?
We're going to get there.
Let me
give you a quote.
I like that answer also.
Let me give you a quote.
Okay.
I understand our present view of human history is completely different from what we are proposing. But based on these ancient papyri, we must consider the possibility that dinosaurs may have lived amongst ancient Egyptians and were possibly tamed to carry the huge blocks that compose the pyramids. For centuries, it was presumed that Ra, and then I don't know how to say the next part of this, but it's the letters NT-KA.
Okay.
Nkat? Can I see?
It's a...
Ra, I think that's a prominent Egyptian god, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
Ra Nitka,
okay.
I don't know, was possibly a whale, but here we have descriptions of Ra Nitka delving into the water as well as on land, and the papyri mention that the animal of great stature was used to carry materials used during the construction of the pyramids, explains Professor Al-Samud.
So that's what the papyrus found in the boat storage.
Yes.
They say they're an animal of great stature helped them build the pyramids.
Yes. And so this also, you know, brings to light some of these weird images that we have as well.
Sure,
Because this is something that has puzzled Egyptologists for many, many years. Nobody could really figure out what this was.
It was probably just someone who wanted to draw a cat with a really long neck.
You ever
seen a four-year-old draw something?
Well, the thing is that I don't think a four-year-old could carve this into stone.
These people didn't even document their own. Okay, now let's talk about the shape the two necks are making. So if the two necks of these long-necked beasts are sort of intertwined, and they make sort of like a circle.
They do make a circle.
You can almost say it's a wheel they make with their two necks. So I think what we have right here is evidence of the wheel existing in ancient Egypt.
Hey, Curtis, can you describe to me the actual function of that wheel that you're looking at right there?
That wheel is used to...
How is that attached to anything?
That wheel is attached to two cats. And it makes the cats go faster. And carry bricks up and build a pyramid.
Okay. All
right. So
you've put it together.
Here's an additional quote from Al-Samud.
Okay.
They are described as tamed beasts of burden who eat the Nile's grass, whose tails, when lashed, can kill an army of men, and whose necks reach out to the sky, which lets us believe that the creatures could depict a species of brontosaurus of some kind.
Okay. And that's,
so this is 4,600 years ago.
4,600 years ago.
So, like, roughly 2,600 BC.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, and for reference for everyone else listening at home, no, that is not long enough ago for the dinosaurs to have existed.
Yes, that
the
is correct.
The dinosaurs existed 64 million years ago.
Yes.
So...
Yes, that
according
is
according to conventional science.
What about I forgot the Scottish.
They still exist
Loch Ness.
Today.
Loch Ness, yes.
The Scottish still exist.
so
the language.
So the Loch Ness monster is going to be an entirely own episode.
Okay,
but theoretically, you know, there's some sort of weird oceanic.
Or dinosaur-like.
Dinosaur-like thing that lives in this lake.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe they had some dinosaur-like creatures that were helping them build these pyramids that somehow tamed.
That is the speculation that we're throwing out there right now.
Yeah.
That is what we're proposing. And not...
That
not we, me.
That we are proposing.
Not me or the Mulder Was Right podcast are proposing. That is what Nabeer Al-Samud is proposing.
Yeah.
You haven't told us what this man is. He's a
professor.
He's a man.
He's a man.
A professor where?
He's an Egyptologist professor.
Okay.
Like at a real university?
Or like the university we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know where he works.
Frontman of
Blink-182. We'll get further into him as well.
Okay.
Okay.
But
how far deep into him are we gonna go?
But here's some additional information. In 2014, paleontologists actually discovered a new type of sauropod named Paralititan. And this is in the area.
Okay.
This is very close to this area.
This is a fossilized dinosaur.
Fossilized dinosaur.
Okay.
And it is, and when they discovered it, it is massive. It's like something like 70 tons by itself. It's like 90 feet long. And it is like the second largest being to ever walk the earth. Second largest dinosaur ever known.
That's pretty big.
Discovered. In this area.
Okay.
And this was discovered in 2014.
Did they carbon date it? I imagine they did.
Yes. I believe they did. Let me get you a time frame from when this lived, because I did not.
I'm gonna bet they did carbon date it, and I'm gonna bet that it was 64 million years ago and not 4,000 years ago. Because if it was, I feel like I would have heard about it. That scientists confirmed dinosaurs lived 4,000 years ago.
Well, but Curtis, look. They found bones. They found a set of bones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They didn't find the set of bones of the one that lived 4,600 years ago, necessarily.
They just found bones of
some bones.
Yeah, of a new dinosaur. Yeah. Now this dinosaur, it supposedly lived from 99.6 million years ago to 93.5 million years
ago. Okay.
So not in the same time.
Yeah.
But you know, just speculating here.
Maybe.
And this has not been corroborated with any of the research that I've done today, but this is just me throwing out an idea here. What if, you know, I mean, because it's genuinely or it's generally agreed upon by scientific research that that the dinosaurs were wiped out by a comet hitting the Earth and creating some massive change on the Earth, and all the dinosaurs died. Not all life was killed that way.
Correct.
You know, for instance, mammals were living underground, and you know, that's sort of how we sort of came to be. We evolved from those mammals. So what if some of those dinosaurs were underground? What if they were also underground? What if they were smaller dinosaurs? What if then they were able to live through that time, discovered by the ancient Egyptians, and then used to help build the pyramids?
I think this is literally the logic the book Journey to the Center of the Earth uses.
I probably.
They go to the center of the Earth and there's dinosaurs, and they're there because it's underground.
Jules Verne is very serious.
Yeah. I think also something about like the saturation of the oxygen levels of the Earth were greater in that geological
that
age.
Is,
and so
that
it
is
was
true.
Easier for beings just that enormous to survive.
You because do.
There was more oxygen.
Before the dinosaurs, we just had giant bugs.
Yeah, there were enormous
which is a terrifying
bad news
time.
Yes, not
there'd be
good.
Like dragonflies, like bigger than you, flying around.
Yeah,
yeah, crazy.
How terrifying is that? Giant scorpions,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah,
absolutely
terrifying.
Like
that is an idea I'm proposing. Curtis is calling bullshit.
So I
all right.
Obviously, definitely true that there were not dinosaurs 4,600 years ago. But it is curious.
It's curious.
God damn it. that these letters or journal entries or whatever we're calling them.
This is what he is saying that they say.
So this is.
Wait a second.
So like this is not a primary source.
I said there are two different interpretations. We're going to get to Talay's interpretation later in the episode.
Different translations.
Sorry, translations.
Okay.
These are two different translations.
Okay.
You were correct.
I see.
I misspoke.
No, that's okay. So it could be, if it is what they say, I'm sure it's not at this point, but maybe like if. We write about all sorts of funky shit. Like, in a few weeks, we have a movie coming out called Avengers Infinity War with a big purple man coming from space and beating a bunch of people up, you know? Like,
and he collects pretty rocks and uses them to
collect pretty
hurt
rocks,
people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So from what I can see that you guys aren't believing me.
Yeah, but I've got another theory. Maybe the Egyptians...
I want to.
Found this old dinosaur skeleton that we found, or one similar, and then was like, wow, this is a big animal. And then they drew pictures of like the big dinosaur, or like, hey, this
what
is
it
a
might
big
look
animal.
Like. Absolutely.
And that's maybe why it has a cat head.
And they
that
like
is,
cats, and so they're like, probably it had a cat head.
Yeah.
That is probably more believable than what I have pitched today.
I'm very smart.
Well.
Well.
I could be an Egyptologist.
Anyway, so I also want to point out that it's not just Al-Samud claiming this. For instance, creationists, they believe that, you know, the Earth was created in 7 days.
6,000 years ago.
6,000 years ago, which is definitely not what
conventional
science says today. So generally, what they believe is that there was a time where humans and dinosaurs lived together at the same time.
Yeah, they do believe that.
So,
and just much early, like much sooner in the timeline than conventional science says dinosaurs existed.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's feasible if you were a creationist to think, oh yeah, there maybe there were dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, and there are specific like lines in the Bible that you know, quote, corroborate this. I mean, there are specific lines in the Bible that corroborate that that the earth is flat as well.
And that you need to like drink goat semen or something.
There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that is said that is proven not to be true to this day.
Well, you know, fables often end up not being true.
Very much. So there's, I have a line here that has been translated in two different ways. So we have one written thing, and then I will.
Are you gonna read the original Egyptian?
I cannot read the original Egyptian.
Okay, that's fair.
But I believe this is from Psalms. I didn't actually write. I have it up here actually. This is Psalms 104.
You found it on the first
25. O Lord, how many of your works in wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is the sea, the great and the broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great. There are ships move along, and the Leviathan, which you have formed in formed to support it. And then there's also a different interpretation, and it says, so is this great, the wide sea, wherein, it's so hard to read the Bible. It's so wordy.
Would you like me to read it?
No,
okay. All right.
Wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. So, creationists believe that these small and great beasts
could be
referring to dinosaurs.
Right.
And so in the first one, the word Leviathan refers to these great beasts.
Yeah, great beasts.
I see.
Yeah, so...
Sure.
So there's that interpretation. Now, I'm not saying that anyone here is right. In fact, I'm on team skeptic here, but it's far more fun if I pitch it like I'm on team this is real.
I mean, they were just describing
devil's advocacy.
Yeah.
Big things in the ocean.
Big things in the ocean.
There are big things in the ocean.
Now,
so.
Now let me tell you, according to Talay, what he interpreted from the papyri.
Lay the words of my boy
this,
Pierre
this is the second
me.
The second man.
This is the first man.
The first man.
The first man that I proposed.
But our second.
But our second interpretation.
Men.
Yes. now this is a quote straight from the Smithsonian website. Among the papyri was the journal of a previously unknown member, unknown official named Merer, who led a crew of some 200 men who traveled from one end of Egypt to the other, picking up and delivering goods from one kind, or of one kind or another. Merer, such a weird name.
Merer,
who accounted for this time in half-day increments, mentioned stopping at Tura, a town along the Nile famous for its limestone quarry, filling up his boat with stone and taking it up the Nile River to Giza. In fact, Merer mentions reporting to the noble Ankhof, who was known to be the half-brother of the pharaoh Khufu, and now for the first time was definitely identified as overseeing some of the construction of the Great Pyramid. And since the pharaoh used the Tura limestone for the pyramid's outer casing, and Merer's journal chronicles the last known year of Khufu's reign, the entries provide a never-before-seen snapshot of the ancients putting the finishing touches on the Great Pyramids.
Okay.
I hear nothing about large creatures.
This is very
in
true.
In that interpretation of the of the language.
So, yeah.
And this is like all hieroglyphics.
It's all hieroglyphics.
They're
translating. And from at least from what I can tell, we have a pretty solid understanding of ancient hieroglyphics, at least to this day.
Yeah.
So, I believe him.
That sounds like a pretty standard like description of that. We were walking around and picked up some rocks. We took it up there and
just
built
boring
a big
enough
thing.
To be absolutely true.
Yeah.
So I want to point out that Professor what was it, Nabeer Al-Samud, the only information that we can find about Nabeer Al-Samud is from a website called World News Daily Report. And
that sounds like fake news.
This is very much a satirical website. Now the issue with issue with having satirical websites out there is that some people actually read and believe this. You know, like people will use this to then cite, like, say I'm a creationist. I'm like, look, this guy says that dinosaurs helped build the pyramids. I believe that we lived at the same time as dinosaurs, therefore he's proving my point. Now let me read you some of the headlines that I saw. I did not frequent this website. I just looked at the article, and then these were some of the headlines on the side of the page. Now, I think they are worth the read. Babysitter transported to hospital after inserting a baby in her vagina.
Okay.
FBI seizes over 3,000 penises during raid at morgue employee's home.
Checks out.
Morgue employee cremated by mistake while taking a nap.
Yep.
Couple hospitalized after a man gets his head stuck in his wife's vagina.
Wow.
They've got a theme going.
Colorado. Hunter claims he was sexually assaulted by a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Clearly this stuff
that would be painful.
Clearly this stuff is real.
This is some hard hitting
facts.
This
is some hard hitting facts.
I want to believe.
You gotta be careful about getting stuck in vaginas, dude.
Yeah.
Especially head first.
Especially walking down the street.
Yeah.
Going to the store.
No, man, that's...
So unfortunately, actually, more fortunately, this is where this was reported at, so...
Are you serious?
What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's serious.
Okay.
Fortunately, this is where this was reported. So this is clearly fake.
His interpretation of the...
Yes. He is not a real man. He is fake.
Not even you literally asked if he was a real man, Brandon. Like, the answer was no.
The answer is
like,
no.
I was about, you said, is this a real man? And I almost called you out, like, well, he's at least a real man. Like, he may not be a real professor, but you were right. He's not,
he's not a real man.
God.
I'm
shook.
I don't want this podcast to dwindle into, like, we're just going to report fake news. Or like we're just gonna tear apart fake news.
Hey, alternative facts.
but like, there's some people that actually believe this. So this is why I brought it up. I mean, because as I said, creationists believe something along this, and so like it's real thought. And you know, at the basis of fake news is or alternative facts is something that someone actually believes.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so. Like, sure, you know, you're reading the headlines, and sure, it sounds as wacky as, like, you know, Hunter claims he was sexually assaulted by a Sasquatch. But chances are, there's a real person out there who believes that they potentially have been sexually assaulted by a Sasquatch or have seen Sasquatch.
The sad truth about that is that if he was sexually assaulted by something in the wilderness and it wasn't Sasquatch, it's... really messed up.
It's really messed up regardless.
Yeah. Yes. There's not many wholesome ways to interpret that event. You're correct.
But at least if it was Sasquatch, then we know that Sasquatch is real.
It's true.
At least tell him that. Tell the guy that.
No.
That's what his therapist says. Well, at least we know Sasquatch is real.
At least we know he's real. This is a huge scientific breakthrough.
This is amazing.
Wow. Do you know what this means?
It's a Sasquatch is a dick. anyway, so that's all the information that I have on that specific topic. Mm-hmm. That being said, I did find a very interesting other article that somewhat relates to this, and this news story takes place all the way across the ocean and across
which
the way.
Which ocean?
The Atlantic Ocean, and then across like most of a continent in San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh. Or near San Francisco.
Wait, hold on. So did we...
That's we not went, quite how oceans
we
work, but...
We went across an ocean, so we went across the Atlantic Ocean.
We went around the whole world.
Sure.
Okay.
So we went across two oceans.
Two oceans.
And all of Eurasia and Africa and...
And then over the Pacific Ocean as well.
Also, like, maybe the people listening are already in California.
Well, I was... My thought process was that we're in Egypt. We go across the Atlantic Ocean over to... God.
Okay.
I was just thinking where I am now.
Where I am, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Okay, yeah. We're in Egypt. We're going to... Okay, yeah. We're caught up.
Yeah, so we're headed to a large dunes area near San Francisco. It's called the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes in southern San Francisco.
Okay.
Where an ancient Egyptian artifact was discovered.
That's the wrong place.
What?
Which is real weird, right? Because that's nowhere near that.
Yeah, that's not where Egypt
they're not
was.
Related at all.
It's a really big dinosaur to pick it up from Egypt and take it to
take
California.
It to California.
Is this
yeah,
theory that is it? Is the theory that Egypt and San Francisco are the same place?
It's the same place. No, there's a. We already did an episode on this, but there's a Stargate between the two.
Okay.
No. So
it's not like a Finland.
So this isn't actually deception. This isn't actually a conspiracy theory. This is actually just like an actual thing that happened.
Weird ass thing.
So how do you guys think that this ancient artifact got there?
Well, what was it?
A giant Sphinx head.
It was a big Sphinx.
Big Sphinx head.
Oh, I got this. Real easy. Sphinxes weren't always stone. So they were live creatures, and this one swam across the ocean because it got really upset.
It didn't fly.
Do sphinxes have wings?
Don't they?
No, I don't think so. No. Brendan, back me up. Yeah, okay, yeah. No, you're wrong.
You're thinking of something else.
I don't know what.
No, they don't usually have wings.
I've seen depictions of sphinxes with wings.
They're cats with human heads,
with really cool hats.
With really cool hats.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, some familial drama pushed this Sphinx out of Egypt, and it swam, and then its head
turned to stone,
got taken off of its body, and so who knows?
Okay, the Sphinx that was uncovered. It was uncovered in 2014.
Okay, 2014, the same year they the found same this year that they dinosaur found bones, huh?
The giant dinosaur. Yeah. And so it was excavated from the dunes. And when they excavated it, it was very fragile. And it was for whatever reason, it was made out of like plaster of Paris.
Huh?
Yeah.
So
what are the sphinxes in Egypt made out of?
Not plaster of Paris.
Stone. Yeah. I think
like
that's
stone.
Limestone. Kind of like the pyramids.
Yeah. Limestone.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think plaster of Paris is an ancient material.
It is not an ancient material.
Did the Sphinx head maybe just fall through the center of the earth? From Egypt to like San Francisco, maybe those are like on opposite sides of the globe.
God, I hope
so. So I wish that that happened.
Yeah. Okay.
But in 1923, so not ancient, famous director Cecil B. DeMille filmed his first interpretation of the movie The Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Now is this the really like
this is the silent movie?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
He did a second interpretation years later in like the 50s, I believe.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Vaguely in the past.
And like when you watch that movie, at least the newer one, like some of those like effects are groundbreaking at that time.
Sure.
Whereas it looks super bad for us. Like we've just come such a long way. But like at that time it was groundbreaking. And at that time when he was, you know, filming this movie in 1923, mm-hmm. he was huge. And so if you don't know the plot of the Ten Commandments, it takes place in Egypt. And I'm not going to go into the whole plot because it's irrelevant to this episode. But it takes place in Egypt. And so there was a scene, it's a massive scene, where he had 21 large, like super large sphinxes. And they filmed in these dunes.
Mm.
Now why would the... Why would the sphinxes end up under the dunes?
They left it there. And then the dunes covered them up with the wind and the sand.
I support his theory.
So
It is my theory as well.
So there's no actual like firm conclusion with this, because most of the people who are in that movie are since dead.
So it's almost 100 years ago.
Yeah. So we can't get like a definitive, like, this is what happened. But it is believed, I don't know, like the urban legend type idea that when the movie was finished, the crew buried the set because it was cheaper to bury the set than to transport it somewhere else
and throw it away.
Boy, I'm glad that most film directors do not take that approach to their sets.
and so theoretically you could just leave it there, which also isn't a good idea, but yeah. You have another ambitious director who then wants to use all of your props, so it was cheaper just to bury it, and so that's what they did.
All right.
I have a picture here of the head.
We're about to see a head. That's the dinosaurs again.
That's a Google search. Oh. That's
Did they have wheels on this set? Did they use wheels in the creation of these sphinxes?
I'm gonna go ahead and say no. They were true to life.
Has anyone ever like really tested to see if the pyramids are made of plaster of Paris?
I don't know. Theoretically, yes, they have made that test.
Do you mean limestone?
No, plaster of Paris to see if they're just big in plastic.
Did we test it?
So here's a picture. Here's a picture of the dig. You really can't see much.
Yeah, that's a picture of some people and some sand.
But you can
something vaguely stone-like beneath the sand.
You can actually go see these sphinxes. You can see them at the visitor center for the Guadalupe Nimpomo Dunes. And the reason why they finally uncovered it now was because they weren't allowed to go on there because I believe it's reservation land.
Okay.
So what people had to do was they had to like petition the reservation, and they were only given like 3 or 4 days to uncover one head. And the thing with like uncovering a sphinx head that's made of plaster of Paris is that it's very fragile, very, very fragile. Because, you know, when you're filming it, first of all, they were filming in black and white, so it was like painted gray because they didn't need to paint it any other color. But what they would do is they actually painted on the shadows.
Cool.
So like the shadows that should be made, they painted them on to like make that tone difference, which is kind of
interesting. Very interesting. Yes. Yeah.
I've also heard that like some sets were like pink in black and white days
for the contrast.
Because it showed up better.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the actors are just acting in this pink set, but it just looks black and white.
Not that different now from people just
sitting in front of green screens. Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's actually significant.
Very, very similar.
Significantly worse for the actors.
Yeah,
even.
Probably, I imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was a cool article that I read.
And it had
vague relation to what we talked about today.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a fun way to round out the episode.
You took us on a journey there.
That was the goal.
With
all of my episodes, I try and keep you guessing, and I try and like slowly reveal information to you until you finally get the whole picture, and then you come to a conclusion on what you believe. And turns out none of us are creationists, so turns out none of us really believe that.
That's the most surprising thing about dinosaurs. This, because I was certain that Curtis was a creationist.
Yeah, uh-huh. I thought that he was too. I thought that when I presented this episode, he was going to be like, yes, 100%, yes.
Ben Carson.
I am in. Ben Carson.
HUD director.
We go way back.
Me and Ben.
God. Do you know he said running HUD is more difficult than being a brain surgeon?
What's HUD?
Home and Urban Development Department. Or Home and Urban Department. It's the housing department of the government.
Okay. Really.
It's what he's in charge of under the Trump administration.
Oh, it's unfortunate that he's employed anywhere right now.
Correct.
That's true.
I wish he was unemployed and
It's very depressing to me that he thinks it's more difficult than brain surgery, because brain surgery must be so much more complicated.
It should be hard.
To be fair, I'm not saying he's right.
No,
but
I mean, the difficulties of an urban environment and like housing people. I'm sure it's a very like, I'm sure there are a lot of moving parts.
I'm sure. But yeah. But what I'm saying is that there are many brain surgeons, but one one person in charge of the
HUD.
HUD.
Yeah. So,
my argument was actually going to be, so he's in charge of it, but he's not really doing anything. He's got a bunch of aides and stuff, but when he's a brain surgeon, he's one in the head, you know? Whatever.
No, maybe.
I believe you. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Maybe he was just a really good brain surgeon and it was just really easy for him.
He's just really good at it.
If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you're being stupid. That's what Albert Einstein said. And
is that the actual quote?
That's the real quote.
Okay.
And so you can't judge Ben Carson, a brain surgeon, based on his ability to run a governmental department. He's really good at brain surgery.
Which is the same idea that we have, and we can't give Trump shit because we can't judge him for being the president. Right? That's how this works?
No. No.
To be fair, he decided that he wanted that job and then
okay, but Ben
tried
Carson also was like, yo, let me be HUD secretary.
Okay, fair. I don't know where I'm going with this.
They're both bad at their jobs and should stop doing it immediately. That won't happen. It's fine.
Well, the thing is that if they just stop doing their job, we really need to find someone to replace them.
How different
because them
would
just
it be?
Stop doing their job.
How different would it be?
I think that like the world, like
pretty
if,
right.
If Donald Trump just was frozen in stasis and we were like, well, he's not really dead. We can't really like replace him. And so just no one did it. I think that might be better. I want to think of what is a scenario in which like the president is incapacitated, cannot function, yet no one replaces him. Because normally, like, even if like he's unconscious, then like the vice president like steps up
right,
and becomes
right,
president
right, right,
like
right,
until
right.
he wakes up. But like, what is a situation where like Donald Trump could just be like awake and sort of with it, but they wouldn't like replace him? Like, is he gardening?
Like he doesn't have to.
Is he just stuck gardening?
He doesn't have to like give any orders or anything.
Yeah.
You just gave me the image of Donald Trump gardening, which I appreciate a great deal.
That is a like, pretty good image, yeah, actually.
And they keep saying like, hey, God, Trump, we need to do this. We need to figure
Syria,
this out.
Right,
and he's like, wait, hold on. Let me just,
Putin's on the phone.
Let me just, I gotta finish pruning these flowers. Hold on, just another
he
minute.
He just like won't leave the garden.
Yeah, what's a good, I don't have a good Trump impression, so.
I don't either.
I can't, sometimes I get a headache trying to read.
These flowers are huge.
Huge.
Huge. I just know to say huge.
Huge.
You sound a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger doing an impression.
You do.
Trump.
Huge, bigly flowers.
Anyway, guys.
Kafifi.
Kafifi. Bigly Kafifi.
God, Kafifi kills me like once a week. It just enters my brain.
I remember when you showed me that.
God.
You were the one that showed me that tweet originally, Brandon. And
yes.
It was a great moment.
I don't understand.
Do you not know Kafifi?
Oh, no, I know it.
Oh, okay.
I just don't understand it.
No one.
There were those
no
people. There was actually some fake news going around that like Kafifi was like an Arabic term that meant like I persevere or something, and like people were like spreading this around. It was like actually Donald Trump meant despite all the negative press, I persevere. But then like the New York Times just interviewed like I don't remember exactly what language they claimed it to be, but they interviewed
totally.
Like a professor of that language, and he was like,
nope.
No,
you know it's. It's really unfortunate when like legit news outlets have to then like go back and just be like, this is fake news.
Yeah,
and then they
right.
have to like prove that it's fake news. That's,
right.
That's
yeah.
really unfortunate.
And it's funny because they picked like the most esteemed person who speaks, like the person most informed about that language. But you could probably just ask like any old
person
schmo
speaking that language.
Speaks
yeah.
that language.
Yeah,
and they'd be like,
yeah,
no,
not
that's
this language.
Nothing.
That's nothing.
That's pocket phone texting. It's also funny that like that tweet was like what it was up for like 4 hours or something before they took it down.
Yeah
which is like
an absurdly
how
long
is there
time?
Not someone whose whole job is it to just watch Donald Trump's Twitter and make sure he doesn't fuck up? How have they not appointed someone to that position And like just 24/7, there needs to be someone paying attention to the Donald Trump's Twitter. And if he posts Covfefe, they need to go tell him, "Hey, you posted Covfefe. Take that down now.
Are you drunk? Like, what's happening?" So I read an article from the New York Times that suggested that there are like linguists out in the world who study Donald Trump's Twitter to try and determine whether Donald Trump wrote the tweet or not.
Oh.
And it's like based on sentence structure, syntax. And there's like it's like a 50-50 breakdown.
Yeah, I've actually heard this about like his speeches too, like what is a prepared speech that he was told to say versus like what he's saying off the cuff, and it's usually pretty easy to tell.
When he goes crazy.
Yeah.
He goes off script.
When he starts making fun of people with Down syndrome and and whatever else he does.
When he yells at reporters and tells them to get him out of here.
Yeah. Beat the shit out of him.
Beat him up.
Yeah. Beat him up.
Beat him up.
Beat
him up.
Beat him up.
Grab women by areas that
grab
that,
women by areas
that people shouldn't grab women by.
One should not grab women at all.
It's true.
you should not just go around grabbing ladies. And
much less in the way he described.
You should especially
grabbing
not go around grabbing ladies the way he suggested one should.
Anyway, guys,
don't murder somebody, and especially don't murder five people, you know?
It's real easy.
Lessons to live by.
These are the things I will teach my children. That should have been the first commandment. Don't kill people, especially don't kill five people.
And speaking of lessons to teach my children, I'm also going to teach them that they should follow the podcast on Twitter. And Facebook at MWRcast. Once again, we are also going to start live streaming these episodes. So you can view us not next Friday, but the Friday after. You can find us live. We're probably not going to actually record it on Friday because we don't usually record on Friday. But just follow us on Twitter, and we'll post when we're going to record the live episode on our Twitch. That's twitch.tv/MWRcast. You can also find myself, Brendan, on Wednesday on that Twitch, doing some research and maybe playing some games. So if you guys want to check us out there, that'd be awesome. We'll have a good old time.
I like the idea that you're like tucking your kid into bed at night and you're like, remember, follow me on Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter.
And it's not even you, it's the podcast. Yeah. Follow the podcast on Twitter. You see me every day, but you don't see the podcast every day.
Not every day.
You gotta get on that Twitter.
Remember,
and follow every tweet.
Like and subscribe.
You can find us on our website, MulderWasRight@WordPress.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Bwandong, BWANDONG.
Good.
And you cannot find me.
I will make a Twitter account for Curtis, and if he doesn't want to post on it, I will post on it for him.
Okay.
That'll be fun. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Is there anything else I want to say?
I'm satisfied with this engagement of speaking.
I agree. I think it's been fun.
It's been fun.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Wake up, sheeple.
What in the hell happened?
You're better on that one.
I just completely forgot. And I was like, wait, what is it? And then you started saying, shh, and I was
up, sheeple!
The joy on your face when you realized it.